KMAN.
And Kathy Dawes now, along with Riley County Police Director Brad Schoen. And do want to remind our listeners, as always, phone lines are open, 537-1350, toll-free, 866-776-1350, or you can tweet us at 1350KMAN. But obviously, I think we'll lead with a couple of the stories that we're getting out of your office just today, in fact. And I know that had a report of a teen suicide that apparently occurred last night. Always sad to hear that. I think over the weekend you had another suicide, an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. And always hate to report on these, Director, but unfortunately they do happen.
Well, they're both unpleasant, unfortunate, and very sad for all involved, particularly the families, but our staff as well. They're just difficult things to process emotionally. And it is always unfortunate, especially when, as is so often the case, it seems to involve young people. I think at this point, the best thing we can do is just encourage people to keep an eye on their loved ones. And if they see, something going on that they have any concern at all about, to not hesitate to take it on head on and address it. I know that one of the things that we do down at the PD is, in fact, I just sat in on a training session. It was earlier this week. Where we have someone from Pawnee who comes down and talks our staff through the sorts of questions to ask, how to deal with people who have mental health issues or are suicidal or both. And, to get it out there for everybody, one of the things that the Pawnee instructors encourage people to do is just be forthright in your questions. Are you thinking about suicide? Do you have a plan? Have you taken any steps to further that plan, and ask those sorts of questions, and a lot of times you'll get the answers if you ask. So then it's time to take action. You don't wonder, because I think the most unfortunate thing for people is to be wondering and then to have something truly tragic like that happen, and to then struggle with, if only I would have said this, or if only I would have done that. So if you think something's going on, ask and act accordingly. And as always, we're happy to help. If you've got something going on, you can call us. It may be that we can get involved, or maybe we can offer some advice or help steer you the right direction. Schools are a good resource as well, that sort of thing. So I think anything we can do to raise awareness about that a little bit and encourage people to inquire and to get involved, as opposed to being too afraid to get involved, is a good thing.
We had Pawnee Mental Health Executive Director Robin Cole on just yesterday, in fact, and I know she mentioned Mental Health Month is coming up this next month. They have several things planned. I know they have the co-responder. We'll maybe get to that a bit later when we're talking budget and
sure.
Some other
yeah,
items.
We can talk about that.
You are working very closely now, I know, with Pawnee Mental Health. So
we are. I probably traded more emails with Robin in the last couple of weeks than for quite some time concerning that mental health co-responder issue and the memorandum of agreement and agreements on the vehicle they're going to drive and all that stuff. We're working very closely on that and trying to get somebody embedded in the PD.
And another big story coming out of your office, and kudos, by the way, to your PIO, Alexander Robinson.
Right, yeah.
I know he's probably had his hands pretty full. An incident at Manhattan High School occurring just yesterday, and we did get an update this morning of an arrest being made of a 15-year-old Manhattan high school student, I presume. And I guess just to kind of fill people in, as we just got this after we got done with the bulk of our newscasts, we originally had mentioned the fact that a gun had been found in a backpack. It was not loaded. There was no ammunition, I don't think, even
found. I believe that's correct. Right.
But apparently some drug involvement, too. So this
apparently. Seems, mm-hmm. And these things are both sad and unfortunate in a, slightly less tragic way. But, you hate to see any young person headed down the wrong path, as this gentleman was. However, one of the things, and so often when this sort of stuff happens and you got a school full of, good grief, I don't know how many kids go to school. There's a whole lot of them up there. And, of course, word gets out, and it's the old saw where you sit in a circle, somebody tells a story and see how it comes around out the other end, and it's almost invariably wildly different. I don't know what sorts of rumors might be out there about this case, but suffice it to say that the information you've just read off is accurate. And that there were no threats concerning the gun. It was in the backpack. It wasn't like he was going up to school to target anyone or anything like that. It was just there, and there was no ammunition for it. Now, that doesn't make it, right, obviously, as you can see by the charges there when you look on the website. But it was dealt with, and, now we just sort of write the reports up, turn the young man over to the system and let it deal with his violations.
And indulge me, since we've not actually aired this, we do have it on our website. We received right after our 8:30. I'm going to go ahead and read just a little bit for the folks out there tuning in. Gabriel Martinez, 15, Manhattan, arrested 2100 block of Points Avenue, the high school's address. Thursday afternoon, just before 12:30, Martinez arrested for distribution of a controlled substance within 1,000 feet of a school, possession of marijuana, possession of drug paraphernalia, criminal carry of a concealed pistol by a person under 21 years of age, and criminal use of weapon possession on school property. Martinez transported North Central Kansas Regional Juvenile Detention Facility, where he was held on no bond. It maybe would be a good time to talk about some of the concealed carry rules while we have this story up. And obviously, if you're under a certain age, it's even another separate charge.
He's not even legal at that age to carry concealed. And I want to point out, because there's been some confusion on the part of the media. In fact, we got an inquiry from some outlet in Topeka. I can't remember who it was, but I heard about it this morning from Alex's supervisor. And that last charge you read off, criminal use of weapon possession on school property, does not mean that he was using the weapon. It's the title of the statute, criminal use of a weapon. That's just what the legislature in its infinite wisdom decided to call it. And then it goes on to describe any one of a variety of things that are criminal use of a weapon. And in this case, the reference after the hyphen there, possession on school property, is what constituted the criminal use of the weapon. So, again, that may have contributed to some confusion because of the nature of the wording of the heading of the statute, but that does not mean he was using the weapon, as was reported by the PIO from the school district. It was just in his backpack.
And to clear up one other thing, and I've known this for a number of years being a reporter, but you do release names now of juveniles over a certain age.
We do. In fact, we were talking about that just before we went on the air, and both of us agree it's been a long time, but neither of us, I think, remember exactly when that change was made. But over 14 now, yes.
Yes, very good. One other subject before we go to a break, and again, a reminder, 537-1350. We did have a listener call in a couple days ago, and she especially wanted me to ask you a question. I promised her I would, so here we go. We've been hearing, I know there's some drug take-back operations in some of the area counties. I believe Pottawatomie County, Junction City, Alma area, Waubonsie County are having a drug take-back day tomorrow. I think the state attorney general announced it.
Yes.
But Riley County not participating, and there's a reason for that.
There is a reason for that. It goes back a little ways. What started, well, back in the day when we originally got involved in this, believe it or not, we could take all of the contraband drugs that we had, whether it was taken by virtue of a criminal case and was evidence, or whether it was part of a drug take-back day scenario, and take it over to Jeffrey's and toss it in that big burning stack they've got out there and just incinerate it all. Jeffries then caught some heat from the EPA and decided they couldn't do that. Before that, we used to take it to the hospitals. Well, they don't have incinerators anymore. I think they have a firm comes in and picks that stuff up and takes it off site to incinerate it somewhere. The point here is that the incineration of those sorts of materials was becoming increasingly regulated by the EPA. And eventually what we ended up doing was working with Riley County, and we would take it up to the pickup point where they collect like old paint and all that sort of stuff, and we could mix it into the paint, then let the paint harden and take it to the landfill. Then the EPA said, no, you can't take it to the landfill. So we basically were out of ways to deal with this, and that's what got us out of the take-back program. In fact, not too long ago, last year, we were looking at buying our own incinerator and trying to determine whether or not we could meet the EPA regulations. Turns out we couldn't, and it was a not inexpensive proposition to buy an incinerator. Eventually, we managed to find a gentleman who had an incinerator here locally who agreed to take our evidence stuff, but wasn't real wild about taking everything else on. So, in essence, what it boils down to is we don't have anywhere to take it now. So that's kind of what drove the train on the drug take-back stuff, because it was a useful program, don't get me wrong, because we would take a not inconsequential amount of drugs that, you're going through grandma's cabinet and you see she's got a bunch of outdated pills, or you yourself have some, these antibiotics left over that you didn't take, that shame on you, by the way. The doctors tell you to take them all till they're gone, just so you know. People had any one of a variety of reasons, and so it was useful. It just became so burdensome that we couldn't do it because we didn't have any place to take them. That I just called Captain Fink when you brought this up before we went on air. He tells me that the EPA started to loosen up on that a little bit, so we'll see where that goes. But as of right now, we don't have anything we can do with it except sit on it and wait and hope that maybe someday we can come up with some place to dispose of it. So if they change and if it becomes, you know, possible for us to get back involved again, we'll take a look at that. But right now we're not.
Let's go ahead and take a phone call. Welcome to In Focus. Go ahead, please. You're with Riley County Police Director Brad Schoen.
Yeah, Mr. Schoen, question for you. You see where Butte County's trying to push the speed limit out there on some of the gravel roads they got. Would that be something that you would get behind if the county commissioners would start pushing that? Because I live out there on West 69th Street. I got a full climbing school, two horse barns, and some of them think it's a racetrack out there. I about got hit one day out there on and everything, then got passed on the gravel road. And I know what the speed limit is. I mean, there ain't nothing we can do about it, but, you know, there's some very unpolite people out there, you know, how they drive in other people's neighborhoods. And I just wonder, would that be something that you would back the commissioners on if they started trying to do that too?
Well,
there is signage out there, I know, but a good point. Go ahead.
It was an interesting question. And I know about the Pot County discussion precisely what I've read in the paper, which is probably not to say a whole lot, not being an insider. I know that they obviously, at least as I recall, they felt some need to have a discussion about lowering them, and then that was met with some resistance, and they kind of looked for some midpoint. And I can't remember exactly how it settled out. But the point is, you have some concerns about speeds on the county. Now, or out in the county, is that graveled out there?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, a gravel road. It's the unimproved roads typically that concern people the most. And I can tell you this, we have not taken a look at it, but if we were asked, the first thing I would do is I would look and say, okay, what's our accident rate out there? Do we have accidents? If so, what are they related to? That sort of stuff. I find it best not to just do this based on opinion, but if we're going to show up, have and be asked to contribute to the discussion, to have some factual basis for what it is we say, something that's supportable either one way or the other. And frankly, I don't know, because I've not been asked, whether I would support it or not. I'd have to go back and take a look at it and see. We try to be fact-based in our approach, and I think that's probably the best way to do it.
And appreciate the call. 537-1350. Always enjoy hearing from our listeners. Why don't we go ahead and take a break, though? It is 9:19, and again, Riley County Police Director Brad Schoen with us today. You're listening to In Focus on News Radio, KMAN.
KMAN Morning Show is brought to you by M&S Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. M&S takes care of residential